Der FDS-Cast von der Uni Germersheim.
Yeah, hello fellow students, teachers and friends, and welcome to another very, very special episode in this week of the FDS-Cast. It's been just special after special after special these past few weeks, and I'm very excited because it seems like it never ends. Anyway, today we're talking about Netflix. As promised, this episode has been announced for a couple of, well, months, I believe. It was one of the first ideas we had here at the FTS Cast group, and I'm very delighted that we can finally produce such an episode. Of course, we need experts on this topic, right? So a layman would probably be overwhelmed by the intricacies and delicacies of this very volatile topic. And for that, I have brought three experts with me on the show. So first, Johanna Greenslade. Johanna is a student of the Master Studies Konferenzdolmetschen, Interpreting. She was a former member of our ASTA, our Allgemeine Studierendenausschuss, and currently she's taking an internship, but simultaneously, thanks to the online semester, she can take part in the Level 4 online courses. Her languages in the MAKD are English, Spanish, and French. Hello, Johanna.
Hello.
Alongside Johanna, we have Lee. It's been a long time since we last had somebody calling us from abroad. I think the last time was Isaac, who was calling us from Costa Rica. Well, anyway, Lee works in a cheese dairy in England, and that's where he's calling us from. And he's also a manager at a butter factory. Hello, Lee.
Hello.
Anyway, so we don't really know about you as much as we would like to, maybe. Please tell us something about, well, your work and what you do. Because I remember you were last semester here, you held a mock conference, I believe, right?
Yeah, I had the pleasure of doing a Friday conference in Germersheim, and it was a great honor and a privilege and a lot of fun. I spoke a lot about a lot of the studies that I did here in England. I studied a degree in dairy technology, which is how you sort of make everything from milk. So cheese, ice cream, butter. And it was really good. It went really well. And now I'm still working really hard. Obviously, during COVID-19, food production has become extremely important. And yeah, my job has become extremely important, apparently. So yeah, really good.
And finally, Lydia. Lydia, you might know, she was the former president of our Studierendenparlament. She studies also in the Master Translation with the language English, and she's currently writing her master thesis about Southern US literature. Hello, Lydia.
Hello.
It's very good to have you all three here today. And as I said, I consider you to be experts on this topic. Why would you say you are experts?
I guess it kind of depends on how much you watch on Netflix, whether you would want to call yourself an expert.
Exactly.
But I think it also depends on the situation you connect with watching things on Netflix. So I guess the three of us all have many situations we can think of in which we would usually watch something on Netflix. And I guess it has just become a tradition for all of us.
So you mentioned situations. On what kind of situations do you watch things on Netflix?
For me, I live in a very rural location, and a lot of my friends live quite far away. So perhaps sometimes I don't have the opportunities to see them very often. For me, Netflix is wonderful because, you know, English TV is famously quite rubbish. Netflix has lots of choices and lots of different programs to suit whatever kind of mood you're in, really. So for me, yeah, it's really handy to have being in such a rural location.
Lydia, how many hours a week do you spend watching Netflix?
I don't really know. It really depends. So right now, as you mentioned, I'm working on my master's thesis, so I watch probably more than I should. So, yeah.
So in your opinion, guys, as we all know, Netflix is a very popular streaming service. In fact, it's so popular that amidst this whole corona crisis, they had to limit their bandwidth because people were streaming all the time and they're overloading the internet, apparently. This is how popular Netflix really were or is. What would you say are the pros and cons of video streaming in general? Johanna?
Well, certainly an advantage is, especially during this crisis, that you can watch something together without being in the same room. And I think Lydia had something to add on that as well. I think disadvantage is certainly what you just said, how much energy it needs. And I actually heard a German comedian say once that the service of Netflix need as much energy as the entire country of Spain. Sadly means that we're going to have to say goodbye to Spain. So yeah, I think the problem is really that it is so addictive and, yeah, as I said before, has become a tradition, really.
I think something that's very nice when you're watching Netflix is that you can find something for every mood you're in. So there's a lot of options, of course. That's what I like very much. So if I want to watch a drama series or if I want to watch a comedy, I can do that. But of course, on the other hand, you could also say there are too many options and you don't really know what to watch and you put everything on your list and then you never watch it. And that happens to me quite a lot. So I have some shows on my list that have been there for 2 years and I always wanted to watch, but I never do. So that's a con I would mention as well.
I can only think of pros, really, for me, for Netflix. Netflix is awesome. I mean, it's great. I mean, if the weather in England is bad, like it usually is, and you want to just spend a day at home watching something, you can just completely binge watch a whole series in a day, and you can just fill those gaps. It's also really helpful because I travel a lot. So I can just download a program onto my phone or my iPad, and then I've got, you know, something to keep me busy whilst traveling. So yeah, I'd say there's only really pros to Netflix.
What about this new add-on that exists where you can watch a show in real time with friends? Do you actually use that add-on?
So it's called Netflix Party, and it only works on the Chrome browser, I think. I actually used it 2 or 3 times with friends in March, I think, or April, when Corona was really the biggest topic and you couldn't really, or you wouldn't really want to meet up. And so you can like watch a show synchronized, so in sync with others, and you send out a link, or one of you sends out a link, and then the others could join, very much like Skype, for example. And then you could watch and you have a chat in the same window. And yeah, that's really, really nice way to talk about a show. And we watched like some kind of reality show on it. So it was really fun to watch together. But I haven't really watched something very serious on it. And we've also had some problems sometimes. So when someone pauses the video, it obviously pauses for everyone. And then when someone starts again, it can be a mess, but could be very fun.
Do the others of you use that as well? Or is it just Lydia?
We actually need to say thank you to Lydia because we didn't know about this and we've been looking for a possibility to watch something together for a long time. And we've been watching shows together without being in the same country. But what we did was always that we would say 3, 2, 1, go, and then watch it together. This is just much easier.
This is so cool that actually Netflix can connect people across borders. That's who would have guessed? Anyway, so do you watch mainstream shows? And why do you think these mainstream shows have become so popular? So for example, 2 weeks ago, I was watching Space Force, which is, well, a Netflix original series that's kind of a satire. And, well, I wouldn't say it was received very positively in the media, but I think it was hilarious. And I would definitely, well, it's just one season, it's not very big, but I think it has become popular and it was produced in such times because it just wants to point out the idiosyncrasies and the like absurdities of our time, especially in the US. Which makes it a very fun satire to watch. What about other shows that are, well, larger and have way, way more seasons? For example, Breaking Bad or Orange is the New Black or Stranger Things. What do you think these have become so popular?
I haven't seen Space Force, but I think what you just mentioned about criticizing the society and especially criticizing the society of the USA, because usually these series are set in the USA, is really important. And that's something we noticed for Breaking Bad as well, for example, because one out of the many things that Breaking Bad criticizes is the healthcare system in the USA, because if they had what we would call a better healthcare system, the entire storyline actually wouldn't work and wouldn't exist.
Yeah, and with Orange is the New Black, I think it really outlines the cruelty of the correctional system in America. It's not really a world that we get to see a snapshot of very often, and I think it's portrayed really well. Not only does it focus on these things, but, you know, it also focuses on many things that we can relate to, such as sex and relationships. And it's obviously, there was an instance in Orange is the New Black where a character was killed when a guard knelt on her neck, quite similar, sadly, to the George Floyd issue. Yeah, so, yeah, it's really interesting to watch and very true to life, sadly.
Sadly.
Yeah, so I wanted to say something to Stranger Things because you mentioned it as well. And I was actually very late to the party with Stranger Things because I joined Netflix only in 2018, I think. And it was actually because of Stranger Things because so many people talked about it. So yeah, you can see that these shows really have an impact on many people for obviously very different reasons. I think with Stranger Things, it was more the nostalgia of it. So it's set in the 80s and there are a lot of references. And yeah, that's obviously very popular at the moment as well with comic book movies and all that stuff and remakes. And so I think these shows can also have that angle. So not that serious, but more remembering the good old times, so to speak.
Do you often watch these shows nowadays as well? Do you like to come back to them?
I mean, with Orange is the New Black and Stranger Things, I guess they're still producing. I'm not 100% sure, but either way, I have not seen all of the seasons yet. So for me, it's not really coming back, but rather still catching up with them. I think it's interesting what Lydia said about being late to the party, because I think I've always been late to the party with these popular mainstream shows, because whenever these shows were extremely hyped, I did not really feel like watching them just because everyone was watching them. So I usually watch them a few years later. So with these shows in particular, I'm still catching up.
Yeah, I actually really like to come back to Breaking Bad. Because I don't really know why. It's all the different aspects of it, because it's a drama and a thriller and also a crime story. And I think the creators pitched it as a story of change, so that Mr. Chips, I think they called Walter White, could become Scarface. And when you rewatch it, you can actually see this change happening, because when I first watched Breaking Bad, without any spoilers now, I was really rooting for him some of the time. But when I rewatched it, I found him very awful. And so it can really change how you see the people. And yeah, when you rewatch it and come back to it later, maybe.
Very cool. Good stuff. So these are mainstream shows, as we said. Do you also watch smaller shows, like niche shows? I don't know, like Atypical maybe, or Love?
Me and Johanna watched a program called Atypical, and we also wrote an article about it, which was published in the student newspaper. I'm not sure if it was last year or the year before. And yeah, it's just a really cool show. We love it. It's about a guy who has autism. And sort of how he lives with that and his family live with that day to day, and all the problems that arise from having autism. And it's a comedy, and it's a lighthearted drama, and it's really fun, and we really like it.
So you said previously that a reason why the mainstream shows are so mainstream is that they're close to reality, they're close to life. Would you say the same counts for Atypical?
Yeah, certainly. Another reason I think that the mainstream shows are so popular is the way they're marketed. They often get quite a lot of airtime in the trailers and the recommendation sections of Netflix, whereas Atypical, we sort of had to do a bit of searching to find it.
Marketing, well, there's a big industry to that. Anyway, Lydia?
Yeah, I also watched Atypical, and I really liked about the show that it portrayed Asperger's, so the form of autism the main character has, as a normal part of his life. So, of course, he experienced things differently, but it's not defining him as a person. So, and there are many more aspects of his life that are important to him. And yeah, I really liked that. So that was a new angle, and it wasn't just, oh, he suffers from something. And yeah, so.
Earlier we spoke about the case of George Floyd, and I think it's interesting that in terms of criticizing society, there's a part in Atypical where they show how the police in the USA can be quite cruel towards people with disabilities as well, or mental illnesses or mental disabilities. So yeah, I think that's an important part of Atypical as well.
Yeah, I'd just like to add that through watching Atypical, I've actually learned quite a lot about people with Asperger's and with autism. I haven't really encountered many people in my life with these issues, but since watching the program I have, and it's been really helpful to sort of learn, you know, how their brains sort of work and how you need to adapt and how you can help them in certain ways. So yeah, it's been really good.
Cool. So it's not just entertaining, but it's also educational. Well, we're all multicultural people. Like, we all enjoy traveling and enjoy other cultures. Do you also watch Netflix shows that aren't in English or aren't in your native tongue? And how do you do that? Do you use subtitles, or do you just do it to improve your language skills in that particular language?
I try to watch shows in all of my languages, which often means that I watch shows that were originally in English in French or in Spanish. And I think that it's also cool that you can decide that if you are not in the same room, that one of you could use the subtitles and the other one doesn't. So, for example, at the moment, Lee and I are watching Money Heist, and we both watch it in Spanish, but he watches it with English subtitles and I watch it without subtitles.
That's so cool. Do you compare later afterwards if the translations are correct?
We usually don't, but I remember one time when I was really wondering, so it was about the formal form of you and the informal form of you in Spanish, which obviously doesn't exist in English. There was a love story between a man and a woman, and she said to him in Spanish, we should stop saying usted, we should start saying tú, which is the less formal form of it. And so I said to Lee, I actually stopped it and said to Lee, so how did they put that in the subtitles? And he said, well, she just said, I think we should stop being so formal now.
There are translation or like subtitling courses here in Germersheim. Maybe a suggestion for our university could be to have more subtitling course, because that's a very special form of translation. And as you say, it can be very interesting. Lydia?
Yeah, so for me, it's really interesting that Netflix has a lot of audio options and a lot of subtitling options, because I obviously like to watch the shows in their original versions, even if I don't speak the language very well or at all. So I watch some animes, so Japanese animated series on Netflix in Japanese with subtitles, and I would be lost without the subtitles. But I just like the original, so I like to hear the original speakers. And of course, what I also like with the audio is that I have the option to watch something in English, for example, because on TV in Germany, it's everything's dubbed, so it's all in German. And I actually watched Friends for the first time. I watched it in English for the first time on Netflix, because I was so used to the German voices. And so now I could experience it very differently. And yeah, it made a lot of sense.
What about the other ones? Do you prefer watching shows with subtitles or with like voice acting?
I prefer to watch shows like Lydia in the original. I think that when these shows are dubbed, sometimes a lot of the emotion is lost, because the actors who are voicing those characters, then they're not in the same living in the same moment as the actual actor who's performing. So yeah, so I watch a lot of my shows subbed. And like Lydia, I watch a lot of anime as well. So yeah, so subtitles are really helpful.
Johanna, does that count for you as well? Or what do you think?
I often don't actually know the shows in their original voices. yeah, so as I said, I often watch English shows in French or in Spanish, so I often actually don't know the original, and maybe therefore also don't exactly know the original story, because as we saw with that example earlier, sometimes they have to change it in order to be able to transfer it to another language. So sometimes I notice that and then want to look at the original to know what they actually said, but I'm sure that there are many moments when I don't even notice.
Cool. Finally, maybe each of you name a show that you have watched and that you love about, and maybe tell us something about the show. Lee, would you like to start?
Yeah, so the show I'd like to recommend is called Unorthodox. It's a story of a woman who lives in an Orthodox Jewish community in New York, where they have extremely strict rules, and she's forced into a marriage that she doesn't like. She runs away from her husband and catches a plane to Berlin, where she's introduced to some musicians, and she sort of goes around with these new thinking, liberal sort of young people who she's never really socialized with, and she has to learn a lot about life. And it's a story of how she sort of adapts to this new world whilst her husband comes over from America to try and find her in Berlin and chase her down. And yeah, it's really thought-provoking and it's really good. I really liked it.
I would like to recommend the show 13 Reasons Why. I think I would classify it as a mainstream show, so I guess most people have already seen it. But if you haven't, I think you really should. If you haven't seen it, what you probably know about it is that it is about suicide. But I would like to emphasize that it is about many other problems that teenagers and also adults can have. And I've actually never seen it in English. So once again, I don't actually know the original, but I'm sure that it is a must watch in every language.
And Lydia?
Yes. So since it's still Pride Month, I would recommend the show Pose on Netflix. It's set in the late 80s in New York City, and it's about the ballroom culture in New York City. If you don't know what that is, you should watch it, obviously. It is set in the emerging AIDS crisis as well. What the ballroom culture does for queer and trans people, especially queer and trans people of color, is that it is a safe space and they compete for trophies. And the show is about much more. It's about the families we choose when we don't have one ourselves. It's often heartbreaking to watch. And it's also about injustice and loss, but also, of course, about friendship, love and family. And it has an amazing cast with a lot of trans actresses and also trans producers, and it was an education for me, and I think it's a great show.
Thank you very much. I actually haven't watched any of these three shows, and well, I actually might start watching from the beginning all the shows. That might take some time, but well, our semester is coming to an end, so well, I will have time. Cool. We are reaching our end of this episode very slowly, but steadily. I would like in the end, well, it is a tradition to just ask you quick questions. It finally doesn't feel weird anymore saying this out loud, because I'm speaking English and it's perfectly legit to say QQs to that. Anyway, so I'm just gonna ask you quick questions and you have to answer them as fast as possible. Just the first thing that pops into your mind. Are you all ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect. Lee. Milk chocolate or dark chocolate?
Milk chocolate every time.
Johanna, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Yes. Lydia, whole milk or skimmed milk?
Whole milk.
Lee, Brad Pitt or Leonardo DiCaprio?
I'm going to go Team Leo.
Johanna, Scarlett Johansson or Mila Kunis?
Scarlett Johansson.
And Lydia, the music of the 90s or the music of the 2000s?
90s.
Perfect. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for joining us here. Thank you for taking the time and speaking about your favorite Netflix shows. Next week, the Schreibzirkel will come on our episode and talk about what they have done throughout the semester. I'm really excited to listen to some of their stories they've written. Anyway, I wish you all a good day, and till next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.